Good afternoon. This podcast is brought to you by Home Theater Solutions. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home or business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning, man. What's going on?
Good morning, Tom.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
Thanks for hanging out with me on this beautiful Wednesday morning.
No problem. It's nice to meet you.
It is a beautiful day.
It is absolutely gorgeous, yes.
Do you feel the change?
I do. Flowers are starting to pop up in my neighborhood a little bit.
Well, March is tricky. March, April, even May can be a little iffy.
Well, I kind of wish we got a little snow this year, but...
Do you like snow?
Yeah. I was living in Breckenridge, Colorado for 14 years, so I do miss it a little bit.
Well, there definitely have snow out there for sure. Mm-hmm. I know it's a, you know, it's a different kind of person. I'm not a snow person. I don't mind it, but I don't dream of it showing up.
Well, if you're living there, you get about 500 inches a year. So it's on the roads 9 months a year. So
I think we live in a kind of a spot that isn't really known for a lot of snow. So when we get it, we really kind of lose our mind a bit here.
Sure.
Where in Breckenridge, it's like summer there. I mean, it's part of, you know, a huge budget that's there for clearing roads and making sure people can move around. I have a buddy that lives up in Syracuse, and he just loves the snow.
Yeah.
And he's got like a snow plow, a tractor. He's got just tons of equipment, snowmobiles, just tons of stuff to do snow stuff.
I used to live in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. So, yeah, there's a lot of ski resorts right around the area. They don't get the snow that, you know, Colorado gets, but they get a good bit of snow. It's wetter.
Yeah.
It's not that champagne powder, you know. Mm. You can wake up in Breck with 2 feet of snow, and your school's not going to miss an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I actually grew up over in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is 5,000 feet. We would get some snow. Probably a couple snowstorms throughout the year. But there's the sandias, which are basically what stops the town from growing, so to speak. Yeah. And that goes 10,000 feet. And they have a ski resort, Sandia Peak, up there. I mean, there's definitely snowing, skiing, you know, snowboarding. So you could have, you know, you could be down in the city, you know, one part of the day, and it'd be 70 degrees. And then at the top of the mountain, and it's, you know, 30 degrees.
Right, right, so. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool. I love that part of the country.
Blackcomb Whistler. I went there skiing, and it's 6,000 feet, but it goes right to the ocean. So it's raining at the bottom and snowing at the top. So
exactly.
It's a cool experience.
It's a cool experience. We actually went back to Albuquerque a couple years ago and drove up the backside of the mountain. It was middle of the summer, so it was nice up there. But, God, I forgot what it's like to be at 10,000 feet. I was like, I'm going to run these stairs. I told my wife, I'm going to run in these stairs. I made like 9 stairs, and I'm not even exaggerating. It may have been 8. And I got there, and it was basically about one quarter of the way up, and I got there and just couldn't move. And I looked to my right, and there's a bench right there. Well, there's a reason why this bench is here.
There's a third less oxygen at 10,000 feet.
Well, the guy
it does make it harder. And people train out there. And Breck and at that, a lot of boxers, a lot of Olympians, and a lot of ski teams, a lot of people train. You if you go to the gym in Breck, you're going to be training with a lot of Olympians and a lot of professionals.
Right. Well, my buddy who actually owns this building, or not this building, this business, he is going to Colorado to run a 50-mile marathon.
Oh, my God.
At 10,000 feet.
Well, I hope he's going to take a couple of days to do it.
Well, and I go, I don't even know. I don't know if you can even, how do you, they're going to go out, he's going to stay out there for a month. But, I mean, I couldn't even walk up 9 stairs at 10,000 feet. So to run 50 miles.
I mean, it takes years to get used to that.
Yeah.
Just the clean air. If you travel from there, the air is so clean, everything else just kind of has a smell to it.
Yeah.
You get used to it.
Yeah.
And then you get to Delaware and there's no mountains whatsoever. It's quite a bit of a.
It's a change, man. Yeah, we are as low as they go.
Well, I mean, I grew up in Maryland, and we would go to the beach all the time, and we would go to Rehoboth and Bethany all the time. So,
yeah.
And Maryland's a very unique state where there are mountains, and there's the ocean, and there's cities and farmlands and suburbs and stuff. So it's a pretty well-rounded state if you think about it.
My wife asked me, how big is Maryland? And I was like, it's pretty big. I
mean, it's more coastline than any other state in the country.
Maryland does?
More coastline, yeah, because it's broken up so.
Oh, along, but it's not. That's like a bay, though, right?
I mean, if you want a house on the water, there's more chance to get it in Maryland, I guess, than there is anywhere. Yeah, I guess California would be second, but it's so broken up, so many tributaries and stuff like that through there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's got four equal seasons. It's got, it's just a, I don't know.
I like where we live. I don't think I'd like to live in Maryland.
It's not a lot of different. There's a lot of taxes in Maryland. If you can dream it, they can tax it there.
I feel like where we live right now, or I'm not exactly sure where you live. I know right here, I feel like this is like a baby California. Like this is it in the beginning, you know, 150 years ago when California was just getting started, these little towns. And now you go in California, it's just one town next to the next town, next to the next town. Yeah. And it's just so congested. And I feel like, I mean, that feels like where we're headed.
I like it here. It's, I mean, I like being by the beach. I like seeing the ships. I spent a lot of time in Rhode Island. I went to Rhode Island School of Photography, and it's quite a bit different. There's a lot more masts, a lot more sailboats out there. Where here, there's a lot more power boats and near the shore, and a lot more cliff lines out there. But I don't know. I live in Lewis.
Okay.
Lewis is broken up quite a bit. I live off of 24, close to Shuckers. You know, the neighborhood back out that way.
My brother used to live back. Is it that Fox Hollow?
He has a little neighborhood called The Cove. You know, it's a really nice, it's a beautiful little neighborhood out there. Right,
well, and it's funny because that's weird that's Lewis.
It is because it should be Rehoboth. Right in the corner of Rehoboth and, I guess, Millsboro.
Yeah.
But it's Lewis.
Well, and I feel like where we're at right now should be Lewis, but this is Milton.
Well, when I moved here in 2007, this is one of the first places I looked at. I thought the way they designed these six, these townhomes were quite interesting.
Yeah.
But it took me a few years till I could buy I ended up moving next to Ty, a guest you had a few days ago.
Ah, he was the transporter.
That's how I met him.
Ty Gale.
2007, yeah.
He's a good guy.
I like him.
We did, his podcast posted this morning. We did another, it was so funny. We, you know, I own a podcast network. I have people that podcast for me. I shouldn't say for me. I kind of created it and to allow people to come podcast. So with me. As we do it, I always say it takes a village. And you know, the girls are like, hey, we need a calendar that we can all follow. And I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get a calendar. We'll all follow it. We'll follow the calendar, and we won't encroach on any other's podcasts. So me and Ty are doing a podcast yesterday, and I look in, and Julie Fisher, who has the Gifted podcast on the RoboSwitch Podcast Network here, pulls up. And another girl, I was like, uh-oh, we didn't look at the calendar. So we were probably 35, maybe 40 minutes into a podcast, and we got kicked out. I mean, not kicked out. We left because, you know, I didn't follow the rules. But Ty, he's a great guy. He's a great conversation.
He wants to help. You know, there's a lot. He wants to help a lot of people as much as he can, I guess.
Well, and the person, someone that referred me to him, you know, because I'm sober. And Ty he's a sober guy. And that's all I had to hear was that he was sober, and I was like interested. I love people that are sober. I love everybody, but you know, 14 years sobriety is pretty fun. And but geez, he's got. I mean, he does so much. And then you know, his son-in-law and just all these different things. And I'm like, geez, I didn't know that I was getting all this. So he's been a fun guy to chat with. And I'm curious to see what we're gonna do. He wants to do a podcast. And I don't know if he wants to do it by himself or he wants me to be with him on the podcast. I'm not sure. We're figuring that out. I'll do either way. It doesn't matter to me. But he's fun. And
he's got the gift of gab. He can.
He definitely has the gift of gab. Here, pull that a little bit closer.
Sure.
So I've talked about this before. You know, we live in a time of social media, and if you're doing anything nowadays, you have to have. I mean. Titanic Pizza next door opens up, and I said, did you get your Facebook set up? And he's like, oh, no, we're not worried about Facebook. I go, man, it isn't even an option anymore.
It's not. You got to do it.
You got to be, you know, whether, you know, you got to put all that shit aside, and you got to drink the Jesus juice, and that's Facebook and Instagram and not much on Snap. I don't do Twitter either. But listen, if you got the guts for it, go on Twitter. But you got to put yourself out there. Because even if I want to promote you, I want to be able to tag you.
Yeah.
And if I can't tag you, then I can't promote you.
Yeah.
So I love, you know, I love Instagram. I love Facebook. I love my Facebook. I love my Instagram. But I see a lot of people that are kind of getting their hustle on. And my friend Ashley, I call her the hustler, you know, because she's that, you know, she has the slower lower. She does all these great things on Instagram. She's hustling. She's trying to make something of herself. And that's what I see a lot of people. And I saw, I was following you because not because of the thing that we're going to end up talking about, which is amazing, but you do a lot of great, you have a great Instagram. What's your Instagram name?
CPW or East Coast CPW.
Yeah, East Coast CPW.
Which is Custom Paint Works.
And if anybody's out there, go check it out. I mean, you know, I like because you mix in a little family, a little art, a little photography. It's not pushing a message too much, but it pulls me in with interest. And it, there's an art to it. You can't be too much. Can't do too, you know, you can't be obvious.
Well, I wonder if people think, do they know it's mine or if they know that I actually painted those things or, you know, I took that photography or if I'm in that photograph, you know what I mean? But
well, I think that's kind of a, I think it's kind of maybe an unwritten rule. If I'm looking at your Instagram, I'm assuming that you either took the pictures or you did the work.
Yeah. Well, they're all my, it's all my stuff. Absolutely. My body of work, I guess. But I went to Rhode Island School of Photography, so I've about a third of my life I've probably made as a photographer. And then probably another third into construction and another third into being an artist, craftsman. I like making benches or tables and chandeliers out of driftwood.
Nice.
I like to take a boat. My friend and I used to take his boat out to the lighthouse, those rock walls out there. And they're just combs for driftwood out there. The things you can find out there to make lights and chandeliers and stuff. So I like being creative, and Instagram kind of helps with that because I'm trying to figure it out, but, you know, at least people can see that I'm there. And that's my biggest worry or biggest problem now is people don't know I'm here. So
yeah. Well, I saw you. And, well, and to kind of finish my story is that I was watching you, and I watch people, and I see these people doing stuff. And if I watch them long enough, then I'll reach out through the messenger, and I'll say, hey, I do a podcast, any interest? But you actually reached out to me.
Because I'm trying to figure out Instagram.
Yeah. And I was like, dude. So thank you.
Kismet.
I appreciate you reaching out. And then, you know, here you are. We were doing another podcast, Carlos and I, the Broken Stoked podcast. And I saw you walking up, and then you came in. And turns out we know, like, a lot of people. And that seems to be the case a lot of the time, especially
it's
in
a small town.
Yeah, in this town is that, you know, you can't. 6 degrees of everybody around here. We know everyone knows everyone.
Gotta be real careful what you say, too.
Well, I live a pretty good life. I try not to. I've learned.
Right. Yeah. I don't need the drama.
Don't need the drama. But you know Dion.
Yep.
So Dion is part of the Rehoboth Social Podcast Firefly Edition podcast that we're doing. If you know Dion, you know Dion's a huge lover of Firefly, and he is, you know. We call him the legend because in the past, you know, Dion will take all the bands, listen to them all, and then as the show gets closer, he'll create itineraries for people to, you know, for this band, you want to be here and then leave halfway through that concert to head to the other state. I mean, he's just super passionate about it. So him, me, Jordan Gum, and Trey Krause were doing that podcast, and I used to do Dion's wife's hair. So but I did not know Dion. So this brought us as a friendship together, and then turns out you know him. So,
well, I'm learning about that end of him. I know him from, you know, he's got an invention out. I think we talked about that for a little bit.
And yeah, he has the glove.
He builds. He's a good builder, and his work is awesome. And he calls me quite a bit for problems.
I'm gonna poke that microphone.
Just keep reminding me.
Well, I just because I don't want to miss. I mean, this is your day. This is your time. I want to make sure we hear you.
But I do a lot of faux painting, or I can match something.
A faux painting, anyway, I asked you because I wanted to clarify. Faux painting is, it's like fake.
Fake painting. It's what back in the 80s people would do with sea sponges or stuff like that. But now it's really evolved into, you know, Venetian plasters. I do some murals. I'm teaching myself how to do murals.
It's almost become necessary.
Stripes. Basically, if you see something you like on Pinterest, like, oh my God, I like those cabinets. And you show me a picture of it, I can usually copy of it. And I'll go home and figure out the colors. I'm good with colors, being a photographer and a painter and all that. And I just practice and use different techniques and figure out how to make it look like you want it to look like. So,
well, and the days of just having like a white wall with a light switch on it are kind of gone.
Well, when I moved here in 2007, people were just buying their house to make money on it and stuff. And I think once the bubble kind of burst, people started living in their houses. And I noticed a change where people get a little more comfortable because you spend all your time there. So why just realtors want you to have a white walls? Because when they sell it, it's white. But when you live in there and if you know you're going to live in that house, make it comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, do that's what my house is, where I go to get away. And it's calm and... Everywhere I look in my house, I've got either my art or something. But
so if somebody was wanting to, how do you reach out? Like, I guess you just probably introduce yourself to all the builders and say, listen, this is what I do, and so I am.
I did that. When I moved here, I found some of the people that worked for Shell Brothers and Echelon, and I just started following them, and I was like, hey, I do this. I can do this.
Introduce yourself. Did I have you introduce yourself? Did I forget you to introduce yourself?
No.
What's your name?
My name is Dan Benzikin.
Dan Benzikin. I'm sorry, Dan. We discussed that prior, and I forgot to do it.
My son and I think, are the only male Benzikins in the country.
Oh.
There are some women, but...
That's quite a statement.
Yeah, he's going to have to go make some kids.
Yeah, well,
I've put a lot
spread the word.
My six-year-old shoulders, yes, he's going to have to do that. Nice. I haven't told him this yet, but I'll tell him when he's old enough, I guess.
So is that how you start off? Is just like you're just hitting the streets and just shaking hands and
I move a lot. I mean, I already mentioned I went to Breckenridge, but I was actually on my way to L.A. and I broke down in Breckenridge, and that's how I got there. And I woke up in my car going, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" And so I just start meeting people, and I look in the paper, and you look for jobs, and I went to, you know, just do what you got to do. I've roamed around a lot.
Well, how do you get, but how do you start getting established? I mean, the kind of work that you're doing, I mean, that it's hard to, you're not going to look that up in a phone book
or
Google you.
How do you get into, like, custom painting, you mean?
Yeah.
I was in... Again, back in Breckenridge, I was doing photography for Vail, and I met a girl there on vacation, and she did this. And I've never heard of it before, and I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And after about 6 months, we went back and forth, and I ended up moving to Florida with her for about 6 months. And she taught me how to do a bunch of different techniques. And that didn't go great, so I ended up moving back to Breckenridge, and I found some other folk painters and worked with them. And what you do is you work with different artisans over the time. And this one's really good at this. This one's good at bas reliefs. This one's good at murals. This one's good at color washing. This one's good at stripes, whatever. And, you know, you watch and learn and you pick up.
Are you doing that here now?
Yeah, I've done for Shell Brothers and Echelon since I moved here. I've done pretty much all their faux painting, but I do a lot of their, I fix a lot of stuff that breaks that you can't hide. You know what I mean? I kind of hide it.
Right.
And I'm able to camouflage it with paint.
Nice. So. Well, the big thing that you're working on, though, is this, I'm assuming, is the bandle?
The bandle. The bandle. It's my one of my inventions. It's the one I've gotten the furthest on. It's
called the all-purpose tool
tether.
Tool tether.
It's drop protection. It stops you from dropping your tools. You can attach any drill, caulk guns, nail guns, anything that's kind of heavy that you don't want on your tool belt.
And by the looks, I mean, this, you know, at thebandle.com, I mean, you actually have packaging. This thing is actually a real product. It's not like this is some crazy idea you've come up with. This thing is legit.
No, I have actually got it in front of Lowe's. Lowe's did a Shark Tank type day a few years ago.
Mm.
And they brought me in and they had 14 businesses and they gave me a half hour. And within 15 minutes, they stood up. There was about 12 different executives in there. It's very nerve wracking. To go to North Carolina to their main hub. It was crazy. They liked mine over all the other ones, and they said, "We're going to send you to AWP. They make all our tool belts." About 4 months later, we haven't heard anything, and we called, and he's like, "Oh, that guy, he's going through brain surgery right now. You're going to have to wait till he gets done."
Oh, Jesus.
Right? So it was like 6 months, and then finally got him. And he's like, "Well, Rooster just bought AWP. So you're going to have to wait till we kind of get to know them before we bring any new products in." Another 6 months went on down the road, and they're like, "Well, the guy from Lowe's that really liked your product isn't working anymore, so you need to go back to Lowe's." And I was like, "Oh, my God." That took me about a year and a half to get to the level.
Jeez.
So I found, I don't know if you ever, you heard of Quickie Mops and Brooms?
No.
It's a, if you, but in your house, if you have a broom or mop, it probably says Quickie on it.
Yeah.
Good chance. Well, the grandson of the guy who started that, he, him and his brother took over Quickie, and then he sold that to Rubbermaid for $250 million. He saw
a
this.
$250 million?
$250 million.
I was going to say, $250 million, that's not much.
So he went and did some consulting, and he took this over, and within a couple months, he got it in front of Home Depot, because he's worked with Lowe's and Home Depot quite a bit. And they loved it. And they started a little bundle thing up there, and the senior buyer, I got a text from her saying how much she loved it, and call you at like 2 o'clock, and that was about 2 months ago. So it's just, I know one of the big buyers at Home Depot went to Germany to an OSHA meeting out there, and he got out of that OSHA meeting, and he called Dave, the guy from Quickie, right away, saying, we need to talk about that product. Because OSHA is going to start, for at least for commercial builders right now, that if you're on a ladder, scaffolding, or roofs, you're going to have to tether your tools to your body. And there's no tool out there. So if I plan it right, I can get this wave and ride this wave in.
I mean, it feels like that we're in a time now where you almost don't need Home Depot.
Yeah, you can get stuff ordered. I go there just for peace of mind. I like to walk around.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, do you need to have it in? I mean, is that where it needs to be? Because
well, we were talking about Ty, and Ty has a friend who does, like, e-commerce sites.
Yeah.
So what I need is to get it on the e-commerce site. I need to build up my website better. And then I need to find a sponsor so I can go buy, like, 10,000 of these and store them so I can start selling them. That's, I've got it right to the point of selling them. So
yeah.
I've only been able to afford, like prototypes and getting the packaging and getting the protection done. But, you know, that's raising a kid by myself and trying to do my painting business and try to do the invention and, you know, going through a bunch of other stuff that's kind of happened. It's been tough. So now I'm...
Do you find... I know that for me, because I feel like a little, we're a little bit kind of the same. I'm always... I told you I invent... I'm always trying to invent something. I tried to invent a new pothole repair mat that basically fits in a pothole, and then when you fill the pothole back in, it keeps the material in. You know, a lot
that's
of the,
a great idea.
A lot of trouble that potholes have is that when they get wet, the water splashing out takes out the material, and eventually the pothole becomes empty, and then your tire goes into it. But I like the invention. I like, you know, drawing it up, finding the material, feeling the stuff, looking at it, and then when I get to the point where it's like I have to sell it, I'm not as excited. I'm like, ugh.
You know, I'm kind of the same way. I didn't have a dad growing up. I had a mom. So I learned the golden rule is to be nice to others. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. I never really got your dad's point of view, which is he who has the gold makes the rules, you know. So I don't really live my life that way. So I get that. I get the creative part. I like doing that. And then I'm hoping I can find someone in the business world that, you know, cares about money.
Right.
That's not my goal in life. My goal is to... As the back of my truck says, creative problem solving, innovative risk taking. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
That makes sense. Yeah. I can relate to that. You were showing us the belt, and basically it's just a belt that goes from, I guess,
over your shoulder tool belt.
Yeah, over your shoulder tool belt.
Yeah.
And then it has kind of a stretchy hook on it that you, and then a fastener that you can put around like a drill or a nail gun or something. And that allows that to hook into the, hook, what's it called?
Well, it's a carabiner, but it's a carabiner I designed with a little thumb holder, and it lets you use your tool when you need it, but if you drop it, it won't hit the ground, it won't fall off the roof, it'll protect people working around there, protect your tools, and it keeps the weight of like a nail gun, which is pretty heavy.
Well, and it makes sense because
off your waist.
And you mentioned it, and I'm the same way. You know, belts and stuff like that just drag down my pants.
Yeah, I don't.
And so that's annoying.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And then I guess a different kind of version would be the one that's almost like goes over both your shoulders that hook to the tool belt. And that's...
Suspenders.
Yeah, suspenders. So you've got that version, you've got a regular belt, and then you've got what you have. So you found something that's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
And it also... I have a dog walking version of it, too. There's a lot of people retiring. They're all getting dogs. And, you know, you can now walk your dog and look at your phone and not...
Well, and you know what? That makes sense as well, because a lot of people, you'll hear it all the time, the dog takes off and they get pulled over or fall down or they get hurt from the, you know, the dog jerking them. So this actually gives you, your whole body, a support.
Well, I gave some to my neighbors who walk their dogs a lot. And, you know, he's a little older, and he had this huge 120-pound dog that was kind of crazy. And then within 3 months, that dog was walking right next to his side because the bungee took all the strain off and tired the dog out and not him.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of that weight off. And if you drop a tool, it takes all that weight off of your shoulders and stuff too. So it's there. I mean, Home Depot sees it. Lowe's has seen it. Even the Craftsman. I went to Sears in, what was that, South Carolina?
What about QVC?
We actually went to QVC too. Met Tina Fey's brother lives there. We met all kinds of people. And I've gotten calls from a bunch of other stores too. Some are good. Home Depot would be good to get it on the shelves, and those are big sales. They have 2,200 stores. But I think getting it started on the e-commerce would be good, at least to, you know what I mean? So it's about, I've met with some people, and, you know, I need a backer. I need someone I can put a little bit of money into it.
QVC, because QVC, don't they have, like, times where you come up and then you kind of pitch your product, and it's like pitch your product day?
Well, no, we met with them. My partner knows. There's a bunch of people out there. It's all in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
For inventors and stuff like that, so much business goes on in Pennsylvania. QVC, that's all right in there.
Yeah.
It's been crazy how many places I've gotten this thing to. And everyone, no one said they don't like it. That's why I keep doing it. Everyone says, yeah, this has big promise. It's all about when OSHA is going to drop their rules, I think. And there's going to be a big wave of it's going to be needed at that point.
So what you're saying is OSHA is going to create rules that it's going to be required to have your tool, gun, or drill strapped to you.
Tethered to your body, yeah. If you're on roofs, ladders, commercial-wise, I don't think they're going after the residences yet. But plus, it'll make OSHA happy, too, and have them look at other people. But it's just a way it's a safer work area. It's people walking around the bottom of the jobs. It's safer for your tools, and it's better for your back. And easier to you can make it work, do your work faster.
I see the guy. What's his name? David in the kitchen from QVC. Is that his name? The big kind of. I think he's gay. Really funny, but I see him all the time. What?
But that's okay.
Yeah, no, I don't care. It's fine by me. But I see him all the time. Actually, I used to see him at the pool, and I see him at Fresh Market. And I asked him, I'm like, "Hey, you want to come on my podcast?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know. I'd have to ask QVC." And I go, "Okay." I guess that's no, but there's a lot of QVC folks that come down here.
Well, my old Instagram, I had quite a bit of followers, and it just got someone jacked it, someone stole it. I looked at it one day, and a bunch of Russian in there with my pictures, and then the next day it was gone. But I had met people like David Sheinkoff from Design on a Dime. He liked some of my work.
Nice.
And I ended up contacted him, and he said, you know, I'll represent that if you ever do QVC and do some stuff. So,
what happened with QVC? To me, that seems like the day where you
have to have product, first of all.
They want to sell it.
Yeah, it has to be ready, which means I would basically need what I need now.
How much money do you need?
I mean, I could do it with $100,000, probably $200,000 would be better. God. But, you know, you got to buy 10,000 of these. You got to store them. You got to do Facebook and Instagram algorithms, you know, and you got to start doing that. And it costs money to get the website up and, you know.
When you started this, did you think it was going to be as hard as it is?
Oh, my God, no. No. If most people watch Shark Tank and they're like, oh, go on Shark Tank. And it's been tough. I mean, I've learned a lot, and that's all been great. Because I've never been in this. I've had other inventions that I've tried to do, but I've never gotten anywhere close to this far. And I keep telling everyone, they're like, oh, you're going to do great. This is a great product. You're going to do great. So I'm just kind of waiting.
I've read some interesting articles about Shark Tank. Not all positive.
Yeah, they take I didn't want to go that way. There's enough people around here that know what they're doing, I think.
I feel like they take advantage of our dreams.
Yeah. I could be easily taken advantage of. I just, you know what I mean? I'm on the creative end of it. So if there's anyone that does hear this and they look up the bandle.com and they like it, please contact me. If you think you have ideas for it, you know.
Well, I'm telling, can I see it? It's awesome. Absolutely. I think it's cool.
It's simple, but it solves a problem. If you have an invention that solves a problem, you know, it's worth doing. If you're looking for problems, if you have an invention that's looking for a problem to solve, I wouldn't spend the time to go into doing that. But
do you think if So this you would wear, you probably still would wear a tool belt though as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not replacing your tool belt. I'm trying to get the weight of the heavier tools off of your waist.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys work 8, 10, 12 hours with, I mean, it could be 100 pounds of screws, nails, hammers, you know, cat paws, all kinds of stuff on there. This, you use your drill. If you have your drill on your tool belt, you're taking it off. It's not tethered, and you can't use it. With this, you can use it while it's attached to your body, so you're not dropping it. You're making OSHA happy. You're working faster, and you're just going to save your back a little bit by the end of the day.
Well, the fact is if that's actually going to be a fact that OSHA is going to require people to tether their tools, this is almost like a given.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
When's that happening? Come on, OSHA, what's going on?
Well, I met with Preston, and I was like, you know, you're in a unique position where you could tell your guys to wear these. You know what I mean? You're basically printing your own money. So, you know, a lot of these big builders of, you know, if you have a lot of different roofing crews and a lot of crews coming through like that, and you can tell them, I don't want OSHA on my back. I want you guys to start wearing these things and protecting our tools that we're buying for, protecting people around and yourself. You know what I mean? So,
I would think Preston would have been kind of excited about it.
Well, he grabbed it. He's a busy guy. He's not into sales. You know what I mean? Sales of product sales, and he admitted that. And he knows some people. He's like, I'm not really sure where I would go with this. And you know, one of the guys that started DeWalt lives here. There's other people that have made their living in Walmart and Home Depot and Lewis that have.
I wonder what the beginning of DeWalt looked like. What did they sell? A saw? Drill? One drill?
A saw. They basically is
branded. Or did they rebrand a company?
They rebranded Black & Decker.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So DeWalt was Black & Decker. And they basically, it was a upper end, saws and stuff from Black & Decker.
So it's not like they invented DeWalt.
No, they basically.
I mean, they maybe invented the name, but they didn't invent like the drill.
No, they just made a better one, and basically the color of the tools, you know, people like a lot better. The quality was a little better. So Black & Decker obviously didn't do that well.
It was funny. We were watching, my son and I were watching something, and it was about tractors and, you know, big cat tractors. And I go, when I was a kid, those were Caterpillar. Like, they don't even really say that anymore. It's now just cat.
Cat.
Yeah. It's funny how...
Everything's branding. And
evolving, yeah. How things evolve. And
marketing and...
Did you ever see Mad Men, the show?
Yeah, I watched the first season of that.
I thought it was interesting that, like, you know, whatever, it was the late 50s, early 60s, they were still selling the same crap they're selling now. You know, Sanka, orange drinks, Mill, Quick, it's a Borax, bleach, you know, it's the same junk.
The Marlboro Man.
The Marlboro Man, yeah, exactly. It's always the same junk, but, you know, just to a new crowd.
That's what I actually wanted to do that. That was my dream job, is to... I have a Jeep and go work in a cool office with bricks. And
why a Jeep? Why'd you say Jeep?
I think there was a Tom Hanks movie where he was, you know, doing the same thing.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I thought there was a period in my life I thought if I had a Jeep, it would make my life better.
I've had a couple of CJ5s and 7s, you know.
Did it make your life better?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it did.
Anytime you can drive down the road with your foot kind of hanging out the door.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's always cool.
And, I had one, again, I'm bringing up Breckenridge. I had one, and I didn't have doors or a top on it. And I would have to shovel off my seat and go to work and drive to work after, you know, 2 feet of snow on my seat.
Jeez, we'll be living in a teepee.
I loved it. No, I mean.
Cave?
I lived in a house, but my Jeep was just didn't have a top to it.
I get it. And out there's no humidity, so things will just live forever.
They do. I didn't need a key. The thing was broken, so anyone could have just started it. But it was a totally different lifestyle. It was through the 90s.
I do believe that there is a different lifestyle compared to, like, out there to the East Coast. You know, I grew up in New Mexico and California. You know, I've only been out. I've actually been here longer now than really any other one town. But I do feel the difference in just the personalities and, you know, everybody just want, you know. And I'm caught up in it. You know, I drive it's not the greatest car, but I drive a nice car, and I go visit my buddy out in New Mexico, and he's like, I have a car you can use. And I'm like, what is it? And he goes, I don't know, some car. I'm like, it doesn't have a name, Billy? What is it? Like, it's all of a sudden now that's important. I think I kind of picked that trade up from living sort of in the East Coast.
Well, the East Coast is a little rougher, too, especially California and Colorado, where my friends, you know.
West Coast?
Yeah, they're my friends aren't nice. If they don't, you know what I mean? They're not. they're tough.
Yeah.
And you can't talk like that to someone from California, yeah. you know, or in Colorado. And you can't. You got to change it a little bit. You got to be a little nicer. And you can't go to the grocery store like you do here in Colorado, where they might have a little section of snacks, you know, just like a little 5-foot section. You actually feel guilty going there. You go to a store around here, and it's all Cinnabons and snacks and nothing good for you. Just
do you think that's changed in the last few years? Or, I mean, last, can we say 15 years?
You mean here or out there?
Well, how long have you been here?
I moved here in 2007.
So you've been here 13 years.
Yeah.
Because I, when I lived in New Mexico, I felt like they had snacks. I don't feel like it was a health-ridden country or a state where you no snacks. We still had junk food.
Colorado is kind of hard to live in if you're obese. You know, it's hard to breathe. It's hard to. Just walking 10 feet there is like running a half a mile here. So you're going to naturally be in better shape. Your heart's going to be in better shape.
Well, I just feel like even in the. So my first son, I have one son, he's 14. He never had an iPad. David never had an iPad. My other son, who's 8, has had an iPad his whole life. So from. In that 6 years, from when David was born to when Sam was born, a big change happened. And it was the phone, the iPhone, the iPad. And in that time, like when Sam had his iPad, those kids are never going to evolve in anything with that iPad. And
well,
now...
think of it this way. We're about the same age. You might be a year older than me, I think.
How old are you?
50.
Yep, I'm older.
And remember when you were, you know, you probably didn't get your first cell phone until what, you were 21, 22, 23 years old when this old Motorola flip
phones? No, I got my first phone in 1990, I think in 99 or 2000. So 20 years ago.
Imagine living without
a
cell phone.
I was 30.
Can you imagine living that life now? I mean, I try to live my life now where I'm not addicted to my phone. When I work, I try to keep it down and I try to do my work and I check my. So if anyone does call about any of this stuff, leave a message because I rarely pick up my phone. When I start working, I work.
Yeah.
I don't stop to pick up my phone. Listen,
I just blame it on the times. Listen, if I had cell phones when I was 2, I'd love to have one. I love technology. I've always, the first gaming system, Atari, I loved it. I mean, I played the hell out of that game. I don't like to say that I'm better. As I grew up, we were different. We played outside. Listen, we did what we had, you know. But if we'd have had that, I'd have done that.
Yeah, I would have.
So I don't. If anything, I'm jealous. I wish I had a computer to play video games online with my friends. That would be amazing. We had to play Atari by ourselves, but it was what we had.
Well, you know, how do you build someone's imagination? No.
How?
Having to go out and just. Can your kids go after you know being raised by just an iPad? Can they go out into their yard with nothing but a stick and amuse themselves?
No. You know? But we didn't have an iPad.
Yeah.
You know, there was a kid. You know, I think that it's always changing, and there's always a group to compare what used to be. Right. I mean, my parents they compare when we were a kid.
Yeah.
But you know, I think a lot of it changed. If I look back on it, I feel like the biggest change was 24-hour news. When CNN started and that little girl fell in the well and we all went out back and looked in our backyard to see if we had a well, all of a sudden we became one big fucking community.
Yeah.
And when people, then all of a sudden people started getting taken. And then, so now you can't, you know, you can't let your kids out. Our life was a lot more, we had a lot more freedom, a lot less fear.
It's hard to, I've been working on trusting people too because that whole thing where, if you went to Yale or, you know, a big Ivy League college, I used to look at those people and say, well, you're probably pretty smart. Now I look at them and say, well, maybe your dad or mom probably paid your way.
Well,
you know what I mean? Or
well,
yeah,
so
question everything. People need to prove their intelligence and work.
Well, and so Chris and Preston, they went to Harvard, I think, or MIT or something. They're freaking smart.
They're pretty smart guys.
You know, I met their dad. Their dad is an amazing guy. Very humble man, but you know what? I mean, they work hard.
I do all their teak furniture and stuff too, and redo all their, you know, that teak furniture's been sitting in your backyard just getting old. Anyway, they have a house in by the beach in Lewis, and I redid that. And I had my son with me, and he met his dad,
Joe,
and his dad. My son was playing in their house, pretending he had a lemonade stand.
Yeah.
And he grabbed, those two actually got along fine, and he charged his dad $107 for a fake lemonade. And he gave my kid a dollar for a fake lemonade. So my kid made his first dollar off of him.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Well, I've cut his hair, and I remember cutting his hair and being like, I forgot my money.
Yeah, it just doesn't. But everything you said was about business, too. I mean, mm-hmm. It was about, and I didn't have that growing up, so I thought that was cool. I was like, raised, leave him alone, let him do it. He's like, don't you ever stop an entrepreneur from making money. You know what I mean? He was very adamant about that. And I was like, and when I met with Preston, I was like, well, that's what I need with my mantle is someone that knows money, someone thinks money, thinks business, thinks I'm a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And structure. Like, he could have added structure to the bandle. I basically have everything ready to go except something to sell, which I haven't had yet. Which that's what I need is actually something to sell, not my prototypes. You know, so.
Yep. No, I get it. I get it. It's tough out there. You know.
It is. I mean, but I don't need much to enjoy my life. You know what I mean?
At some point, here it is. Now, what's next? I mean, you made it. I mean, you've done what you need to. What's the next project? What's your next invention?
Well, I have.
You said you may have a lot of inventions.
I have a backpack a hard frame backpack that turns into a stroller.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was walking around the career with my kid, and they wouldn't let us bring our stroller in there. But you know what I mean. That's where I came up with that idea. I've got a broom and dustpan that's in together. I've got a tailgate for trucks that should help save some gas money. And a bunch of different tools and stuff. And if I need like a tool that I for work, I go and make one. I go and make one.
Create it your own. Create your own.
Yeah,
that's cool. I'm the same way. I love, as you mentioned, being a father. I love being a father of children and just trying to figure things out. You know, I tell my kids every day, "What do you want to do? You do whatever you want. You know, you want to invent something? Let's invent something."
I love being a dad. That's one thing I am doing really well. I really enjoy it, and it's for the 3 years it's just been him and I, and it's. I get him to school, I make all his meals. And now, at 50 years old, I'm now on a school schedule for the next 12 years.
Yeah.
I got to get up and get him to the bus. I got to make sure I'm at the bus. But at least now I can work. Before, when in preschool, I really couldn't work that much. But now, he's in there 5 days a week. And
I'm a big believer in that. I make my kids, I get up every morning, make my kids all their breakfast, make my kid, my one son goes to Sussex Academy, and so they don't provide lunch. So I make his lunch every day. I've been making their lunch. I'm the guy that believes that I can make their food. It's important to have good nutritional food. And so I always make their food. And I was watching something the other day, and they were talking about how, it's like really, good for our spirit, our soul, when we can, hunt food, dress the food, store the food, cook the food, serve the food, eat the food. Like that whole process. I'm not hunting. I mean, it's not obvious. You might think I'm a hunter, but I'm not. But I did buy it.
I didn't think you were a hunter.
Yeah. Thank you. Why not? I grocery shop and buy the food, and I prepare it, and I try to make fresh food, and I feel like it makes better kids, happier kids.
I talked superfoods to my 6-year-old. He's like, "Is it superfood? Is it a superfood? You know what I mean? Is it pomegranates or granola or an egg or what? You know what I mean? Let's make sure you're eating like at least a couple superfoods a day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know how to cook, you can always have something you want.
Yep. Well, I'm a big cook. I'm the only guy that cooks at our house. My wife does not cook, but that's cool. She does other things.
I've cooked in a few restaurants, so I've not like. These chefs around here, we are very lucky with the talent we have. It's a lot of these restaurants around here. But yeah, I can pretty much cook anything that I want. Or it's the same thing with painting. Someone tells me, can you make it look like this? I go to a restaurant and I see something like you figure out what's in there.
Hmm.
And then you go home and cook it.
Are you a music fan?
Yes.
Because you walked in on Carlos and I's podcast, The Broken Stoked, on Audio Boom. And we're big Pearl Jam fans. So, Pearl Jam's coming.
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
I did not know that.
The 90s. And Carlos got tickets. I did not. So I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks begging him to take me and showing him 100 reasons why he shouldn't take his own son. Well, that's my mission.
Well, but, I'll tell you what, if you can get either Tom Waits, Jack White, or Mike Ness to sing something, I'll listen to it.
Social D.
Huge fan.
I saw Social Distortion opened up for Pearl Jam.
That's one band. I used to go to Baltimore a lot. I was into that whole punk rock thing back in the 80s. Mm. And we'd go to a place called The Loft down there. You know, it was scary going downtown. And but I saw, you know, Minor Threat and, you know, it turned into Fugazi and 7 Seconds and Corrosion of Conformity. All those were like hardcore as a ninth grade, you know, ninth and tenth grade. I loved it.
Yeah. I love so. Well, it's funny. I lived out in San Diego, and San Diego was, they were from like, I don't know, outside of LA, suburbs of LA. And a friend of mine was the new Mike Ness, and he would call our apartment all the time and talk to her. And, but this is way early Social D. And he was, I didn't personally confirm this, but it sounded like he was running the streets pretty hard.
Yeah.
I always wonder why that band never did any more because they're so good. I mean, I love that band. And I was going to play a little if I can find. When did you get into them?
Ever since a kid. I mean, I just saw, a couple years ago, I went to D.C. and saw Billy Idol. That was probably the first.
I heard he's good.
First show I ever saw at Merriweather when I was a kid. The first, like, real kind of band. We were going downtown and seeing all these. You know, you get to see 5 bands for $5. You know, all these hardcore bands, government issues.
Good old days.
Everyone's just screaming at the top of their lungs. Henry Rollins, you know. D.C. had a pretty big scene back then, though.
I love this. This is a great. I love running to this song.
Yeah. I love this song.
I used to live on the 101.
In
San Diego. And this reminds me of that whole scene down there. Speed, doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah, this pumps me up. This is the song. Really. My kid knows all the worst of these. My 6-year-old can sing this song.
Yeah, these guys are broken. Good.
This is one of the few bands I actually buy all their music. Them and Tom Waits, I'll buy their albums, you know, the rest here.
Tom Waits?
Tom Waits, I'm a huge fan of Tom.
He is definitely from the 80s.
I heard him, I was working one day, I was like, what is this? This is insane. It works with my head. It just works with me quite a bit, you know. The old vagabond, he's a character.
Right? Yeah.
He's the pirate on Shrek. You know the piano playing pirate?
Yep.
That's Tom.
Okay. Yeah. Social Distortion always reminds me of like old relationships.
Yeah, it's either I caused the problem or she caused the problem.
Or together we are a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's she did me wrong
sick
or I did her
boy,
wrong.
Boy, sick girl.
I'm always a sick boy. Yeah, I've always thought of myself as a greaser.
Grease your hair back?
Yeah, just a
satin jacket. Leather.
White t-shirt, jeans. Yeah. You know, just a
tattoos? Do you have tattoos?
Plenty.
Plenty?
Yeah.
Nice.
I got this for my therapist, paintbrush. I wouldn't call myself an artist, and she was very adamant about me being an artist, and so I got a tattoo and a paintbrush for my therapist.
That's smart. I want to get a tattoo right there. I get a spot. But.
I have a lot of Da Vinci sketches.
You do?
Yeah. I'm a fan of Da Vinci.
Well, listen, I... So let's go through all the details because, God damn it, I want to see you sell some of these things. I want to see this thing take off. TheBandle.com. TheBandle.com.
Yeah. It's like handle. Band and.
How'd you come up with the name?
My ex-wife actually came up with that. My friend and I, we spent days and days in the garage looking. We had things like strapping it. If you look that up, it's a little too S&M-ish.
Not looking it up.
You know what I
Honey.
Mean? And, so I finally got to it. It was it's changed. It's morphed from the beginning.
I kind of actually like the name, Bandle.
Bandle.
Half band, half handle.
It's the only thing we found close around the entire world is there's a lady in Ireland who makes candles with different bands in it.
Mm.
Bandle, but if she didn't try to get it. So I own Bandle around the world.
So let's say someone listens to this podcast and they want to be part of this. They want to be part of your journey. Let's say they want to get behind you. Where? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can either...
Do you have an email?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Bandle V2 at Gmail.
The Bandle V as in Victor 2 at gmail.com.
At gmail.com. Where they can find me at East Coast CPW and
Listen, if people are listening to this, follow this guy's Instagram. What is it?
East Coast CPW.
East Coast CPW. It's a good Instagram.
Thank you.
And it's funny because you just can't put out whatever. I mean, it's the art of Instagram and the art of Facebook are changing. And I watch people's Instagram, and if it's kind of annoying, I lose interest. But I love to see the creativity. I understand we all get a little bit of a mission in all of our Instagrams, right? I mean,
sure. So
as long as I'm seeing the mission but not overwhelmed by the mission,
right.
I'm enjoying the Instagram. It's my daily thing. And I think you put out enough stuff, not too much, not too little, keeps you involved.
I go through waves. You know, I either do a painting on a canvas, you know, and all my canvases are like from leftover painting jobs for homes, you know, so it's, and I go through, you know, and then I go through photography and then I maybe cook something, I put something on, or my kid I put on there a lot, he's my favorite subject right now, so. But
well, listen, I know that it takes a village.
Yeah.
Especially guys like you and me.
And painting too, you know, if you guys see something on Pinterest and you can't find someone that can do it.
That's your first love is that painting, right? That faux painting?
I did it out of necessity. I mean, photography has always been my favorite. I mean, I went to Rhode Island School of Photography and I worked in a commercial studio for 2 years after that. We shot, you know, film, 8x10, 4x5 cameras, you know, the bellows, and you put the thing over here.
Yeah.
And a lot of catalog work. And then I headed to LA and I sent my portfolio out there and I ended up breaking down in Colorado. And I did, for the first 5 years, I would grab my camera and snowboard and go to work, which was amazing.
Yeah.
That I will put that as my best time of my life. If you can grab your snowboard and camera and go to work.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. And I would do the races, the NASCAR races, the Super Gs, the handicap races. You know, I would take big groups out and do, you know, some backcountry skiing, show them some good cliffs and stuff to jump off of, whatever. You know, snowcat trips, heli trips. You know, if you wanted a photographer to come with you and that's what I would do I did that for about 5 or 6 years. And then I got into, I met that girl and started faux painting.
It was awesome. Not that girl.
Yeah.
How many that girls do we have in our lives?
That girls have changed my life quite a bit.
Well, listen, brother, I appreciate you coming on. I could talk to you all day. The Bandle. It's a cool little belt. Check it out, everybody. Go on thebandle.com and check it out. And listen, this guy needs help. He wants to move on. There's a video.
There's a little video you can put on. It's me in my garage showing it. It's pretty simple.
I love it. And I appreciate you reaching out. I was soon to be reaching out to you, so we were both thinking the right thing. I love your Instagram. And, you know, come back. You know, let's...
Absolutely.
You know, keep me posted. I always say to anybody that comes on, I appreciate it because I'm sure there's something else you could have been doing.
Right.
So I appreciate you spending your time and hanging out with us. And if I can be of any value to you, I hope I can. We'll post this, and this will probably go up next week. But when we put it up, you know, we'll really put a whole bunch of stuff out there and see if we can get some attention to you. All right?
Awesome. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Finish out a little social date.